Hello and welcome to the LCU Coaches Show, brought to you by the Shap Radio Sports Network and the LCU Podcast. You're tuned in to 99.1 Shap Radio, KLCT LP, Lubbock, Texas. I'm Nathan Carcino, and I have the pleasure of talking with head coach of LCU women's basketball, Steve Gomez. Coach, we transitioned from one season to another, so I really appreciate you joining us today.
Well, I appreciate you. I know you're busy with all your track stuff, and sort of hate that it's maybe a week earlier than we were hoping to be finished, but this is what it is, so we'll deal with reality.
To begin, we'll look at some of the takeaways at the end of the season as the Lady Shaps fell to Colorado Mesa in Denton. What were some of your thoughts at the end of that one?
Yeah, going in the postseason, once you get to the regional tournament and the national tournament, you know everybody's going to be quality. And it was a tough game for us. We knew it'd be a good matchup. We thought if both teams played well, it'll be down to the last minute. I don't know that we played very well. It went down to the last minute, though. You know, you have a shot to tie or take the lead under a minute. In those close games in the postseason, that's all you can ask for. So we were there at the end. You know, we didn't rebound well. One of our emphasis going into that week was rebounding, you know, and controlling the paint. They had a post player, really played well, scored really good that game. And then we didn't rebound as well as we needed to. So, you know, in those situations, your season comes to an end if you don't do those things well in the postseason.
The Lady Shaps finished with a 21-10 record, a West Division championship in the Lone Star Conference, and another berth in the conference tournament and NCAA South Central Regional Tournament. So entering this season, you brought back five starters from a Sweet 16 season the year before. What did this group live up to any of your preseason expectations?
Yeah, you know, I think this was one of those years I sort of in a way feel like I failed the team just in terms of getting us to be as good as we could. I think last season, I think we maximized our potential, played really well late, I mean, had a good run, had a chance to make the Elite Eight. You know, this year, just not sure we accomplished what we wanted to in terms of consistency of play and quality of play. We had some good moments. We had some down moments, but we weren't game to game and week to week improving. And so I've got to figure out, all right, what can we do better starting, you know, next week in spring to be prepared to start out a year well and then build on it, as opposed to, you know, always trying to find what can work now, what can work now. And so, you know, lots of different things we could look at and analyze. That's what we're trying to do right now is figure out a good year. You know, a lot of teams, there's so many programs that would, and they'd have a parade to make the national tournament. I mean, to qualify for a regional is not to be, you know, sneezed at. It's not to be taken lightly. At the same time, you know, we don't want to think it's our birthright to play in a conference or regional tournament, Elite Eight. Those things have happened, and hopefully they'll happen again. But it's just a matter of being good all the time and finding out what we do well and really maximizing that, as opposed to, you know, hey, let's try this now. And so I feel like that up and down, something that we've got to correct and do better job. I've got to do a better job next year. Fun team. It was one of those teams I never felt like we were disjointed as a team. Tremendous kids, wonderful environment. Just our performance wasn't up to standard. And so we've got to do a better job of that.
Looking at some of those key contributors on the team from this year, junior Grace Foster came into the year as the reigning player of the year in the conference and the region. She faced every team's best defensive scheme night in and night out, and pair that with battling a little wrist injury later in the season. How did you see her grow in her resiliency as she went on the year?
Yeah, tremendous person. Just such a wise girl for her age. I mean, has a great worldview, a great perspective. Now, she was able to spend some time last year in Africa in the summer, just sort of one of those transformative times of life. And I just appreciate all that she does and her mindset. We talked earlier, her mind is just her greatest weapon. She's always, you know, really thinking through things, very perceptive. And again, she took a lot of shots from other teams. And then even for her physically with that, you know, broken bone in her wrist, that did not help. Some other health issues through the year, but incredibly productive still. I mean, someone who, you know, one of the top players in our conference, one of the top players in this region, one of the best players in the country still, you know, and I know she wants to even be better next year. But when you're getting that much attention, it sort of is incumbent upon the rest of the team to alleviate that pressure. And so we've got to do a better job, too, of helping, as coaches, helping our team help her. And so she did a tremendous, what a great job. And I know there's another great senior year ahead for her.
Yeah, speaking of senior year, your point guard, Macy Maddox, one of the best ball handlers in the league and was out there the majority of, if not every single game all season long. And she always had a knack for distributing the basketball, but also showed some flourishes of scoring when she needed to as well. So talk about her value as a veteran and, you know, providing the leadership of that team.
The job that she does, very, very, very few people can appreciate how hard what she does is. And she makes it look easy. Just getting the ball from one end of the court to the other consistently, game in, game out, minute in, minute out, over weeks, over months, that takes a huge toll on people mentally, physically. And she just makes it look so easy. You know, people enjoy watching her play because she has such a quickness, a sort of a flourish about her. You know, assist turnovers on the year were tremendous, way more than 2-1, almost 3-1. She can score. I think what we've talked about is she needs to shoot the ball more. You know, she shot over 40% from three, and so many times she had passed up a good shot. So, again, there's always ways for each of these players to grow, and that's for her, one, to feel the freedom to score. As a point guard, sometimes you want to get everybody involved, but sometimes the best thing to do is to score. And but her offensive ability, versatility, quickness, ball handling skills, just really irreplaceable. Our team needs it, and I hope people can appreciate how much that takes. So really good year for her, but I know she even feels like I need to be better.
Audrey Robertson was another senior who stepped up big in those scoring scenarios. She averaged nearly 14 points per game and led the way offensively a lot of that time when Grace wasn't on the floor. And you coached, obviously, her two older sisters, Olivia and Juliana. So now as Audrey has finished her fourth season, how does she compare to when you had her sisters in the program? And then in total, what has it been like to get to know that family this time?
Yeah, they've sort of taken on the mantle of, we had the Hampton sisters for a period about 10, 11 years. Mm-hmm. There's three of them. And then I think Nicole's senior year, Olivia came as a freshman. And so they've bridged that gap. So, I mean, that family has just been key to us and our success. You know, and Audrey with her sisters, again, they're each unique in their own way. But her improvement from freshman year to now, just shooting the ball, just decision-making, just incredible. I mean, she shot over 40% from three this year. Someone that as a freshman really probably hardly ever even looked to shoot the ball. And, you know, her ability to attack the basket. She's another one, honestly, from the knee injury before the season. When she played her first game, we were really uncertain if she could even play. She got in there and played really well, and we could never then not let her play. And so I'm hoping these weeks in this spring can get some recovery for her because she puts a lot physically into every game. And her ability to attack, get to the basket, score, get fouled, and just compete. I think that just defines her. She's just a competitor. And so, you know, that's going to be something great to have back another year. And hopefully she can compete pain-free and just really let it loose next year.
And the lone senior who will be leaving the team is Shaylee Stovall. She was a fan favorite and did a lot for your program. That doesn't always show up in the box score. So what is it like embracing her this year, and how much did her contributions impact your team's culture?
I wish people could see just her daily investment in work. I mean, she would be there before practice shooting the ball. She would stretch for 20 minutes because she worked so hard. She wanted to make sure her body was ready every day. It's amazing the toll she puts on herself, because when she's on the court practice game, you see how hard she's working. It's rare to see her standing still looking. She's always in a stance, moving her feet, ready. You know, using her body, physically strong kid, not very big, but she'd set great screens. You know, she would defend with all of her heart. Just one of those people that gives so much. And again, it's not always reflected maybe in, like you're saying, an award or a stat, but just the daily effort. It's just so invaluable to our team and for our younger kids to see what that looks like. Because even as a freshman, sophomore, it wasn't easy for her. She didn't get to play a lot. So to see that progress is just so fulfilling. And to see her go on into life with great things, graduate school, getting married, going to be a tremendous employee, wife, mother, she's going to do tremendous things.
We saw nearly everyone on the roster at some points throughout this year. So are there any other contributions that stand out most to you as you look back on this season?
You know, what I appreciate about our team, and again, I know I didn't help them achieve the level performance-wise that we wanted. But as a team, what a joy to be with. I mean, bus rides, hotel rooms, restaurants, locker room, just so good to be around. And all the little contributions of players that didn't get to play much, but that were so invested. They practiced hard every day, cheered on the bench, did so many little things. So it's, you know, it's hard to single out any individual. But I know a lot of our kids did little things in certain games that made big differences for us. We're excited to have, you know, all of those kids back because it's just a great environment. And I know all of us can get better, so our team performs better. We'll find that. I'm confident we will. I look forward to it.
We're joined by head women's basketball coach Steve Gomez, and I'm Nathan Carcino here on the LCU Coaches Show. Coach, now as we turn the page to this coming season, I'm sure you've already hit the trails recruiting and getting ready for the Lady Shad basketball camps as well. So what's on the agenda coming up for the weeks heading into the summer?
Yeah, following our last game, you have to take 2 weeks off. And so next Monday, on the day after Easter, we can start workouts again. We're excited about that, just to get back on the court and start putting our focus to improvement. And then we will have some recruits in. You know, obviously, we have one freshman coming in for certain already. Maddie Moyer is a girl from Colorado that has been here last spring. Tremendous. Will be a great addition and fit right in with our players. And then, you know, knowing that we have five seniors next year, it's important that we start getting some high school current juniors so we can replace those kids eventually. Again, we don't want to live in the future too much, but you got to prepare. And so that's a big part of this upcoming month is getting those players in with our players on campus, see what it's like, because we still want to develop relationships and have teams that can play well on the court and function well off the court. So that the next, you know, up through the end of April, we'll be working out, lifting, getting better, having recruit visits, and then finals will be here before you know it. You know, we don't have a whole lot of time. And then obviously we'll get some time in May off, and then summer camps get going. And we're excited in the fall, and well, before school starts in August, we're going to take a trip to Brazil, play some teams over there, and hope that'll be a great jump start to our next year.
Absolutely. When talking about some of those summer camps, some of your athletes have grown up attending those camps, and then they eventually become part of your team here at LCU. So do you ever reflect on some of those moments and realize the value that those events have on this program?
You know, it's fun to see, even sometimes on the senior days, our girls put up their display of pictures and see pictures back when they were in camp as a little kid. That, I mean, back when I was young too, of taking pictures at camp, and how it is a progression of kids that love to be around LCU. And our players do such a great job as camp counselors or instructors, whatever, coaches, making fun for the kids. And then when they get into high school, we keep wanting them to come back as high school recruits to work with our players. And then we can really see how would they fit with our players on and off the court. Yeah, that process is really important. And it's also just fun. We want kids that just want to have fun playing basketball come to camp. It's not all about developing them so they can all play in college. It's just, hey, love the game. Love being around other people. And so our girls do a tremendous job of exampling that to young people.
As you begin to recruit that next crop of Lady Shaps, build these relationships, what is one of your biggest points in promoting that choice to attend Lubbock Christian University?
You know, so I think probably most of our current players may remember a phrase a lot of times I tell them. Well, first, I always tell them we're coming to a Christian school, you know, a university and a team that wants to honor God, honor Christ, and how we live on and off the court, how we compete, seeking excellence in everything we do. And so that's, they need to know it's not just coming to play basketball. So that's, and then another thing really I've told all our players, I continue to tell them, is let them know, hey, you're not that big a deal. You know, you're not that important. It doesn't mean you're not important, but you're not so important that you deserve everything or that we're going to do everything around you. And so for them to be able to be a part of a team, that's always going to be the most important message we get across. We want to get great players, but they need to know it's not going to be about them, and they need to learn, how can I help this team be the best, not how can I get what I want? So, I mean, those things are important, and these days a lot of kids may not hear that. I think we have to keep telling them the truth, and so we want them to see that, but we want them seeing the great community that's here. I mean, it's just so important for them to get around our players and the LCU community as a whole. Because that's the best selling point. It's not going to be, you know, the scenery or the nicest whatever. We got great things here, but we're not going to try to convince them to because of the surroundings. It's going to be the community that's going to sell it.
Now, once again, you will be returning a lot of production back from this year's team to next year. And two of those returners, like we mentioned, are Macy Maddox and Audrey Robertson, exercising their COVID graduate senior years. So did you have any discussions with them heading into now this offseason on that decision? And then how much are you looking forward to having them back?
Yeah, we're thankful. And even last year, they sort of had made the commitment even before this year that they were wanting to do that. So we sort of knew going into recruiting cycles of who we need to look to replace. And so that has been helpful. But we have met with them again this week, and they're more committed than ever to make sure that final year is all that they want it to be. I think this year even, they've said it was one of the most enjoyable years they've had playing, maybe the favorite with just the way things with the team were. And that's great. But I know we all want, as a basketball team, to perform. And so when you don't meet your expectations of competition, it gives you hunger to do more. So hopefully we all have that.
Now, this season, you reached your 21st year as head coach of LCU women's basketball. You had your son Landon on the staff for the first year here in his career. And like we mentioned, you reached another postseason on the conference and national levels. How much do you continue to see your competitiveness and your staff's competitiveness to grow year in and year out for that postseason dreams?
Yeah, I think that if you ever start losing that flame or that desire, I mean, I've got to be real cognizant of that and not just get to where it's just what we do. So having even those young coaches of, you know, Landon, Casey, Coach P, they have a lot of energy. They help to drive that. I've got to help to drive that. We had lunch today with Coach Self. He was tremendous. What a great example he has been. And so all those influences work together. I think we have a very good camaraderie, good teamwork, but it is important for us to still feel a drive. I mean, if we get to where you're just content and complacent, that's a danger. You want to be content in your situation, but trying always to make it better. And so, I still have that, and I don't want it to be reignited because we didn't do well. I just want it to always be there. And so we don't ever want to get, that was good enough. We want to be better.
Now, before we go, of course, there's a lot to look forward to in the months and year to come. So is there anything else you'd like to mention to Shap Nation as we prepare for next season?
Well, yeah, just a tremendous fan base. Again, I know as a team, we don't think we met the standard. And again, that's not a number of wins or a national championship or a destination even. It's just a daily consistent performance. And so we want to be better at just playing the game at a high level. Still, I think the kids are fun to watch because they're just great kids. And so we want people to be ready. We want them to enjoy the spring, all the great things that are going on this spring at LCU in the sports, you know, tennis and y'all in track and field and softball and baseball going on, golf. There's so much good here. And so, again, every year's a journey. You see it in the national and the NCAA tournament right now. You never know what's going to happen in sports. But again, when you're with the people you enjoy, you can handle anything, and we want to keep doing that.
Coach, it's always a pleasure, and we're excited for what's to come. So thank you again for joining us.
And appreciate all y'all have done this year.
Thank you, thank you. And that was head coach of Lady Shap Basketball, Steve Gomez. Stay tuned for more on the LCU Coaches Show on 99.1 Shap Radio and the LCU Podcast.
We're back live with the LCU Coaches Show on 99.1 Shap Radio and, of course, listening on demand on the LCU Podcast. Good evening, everyone. I'm Brennan Riker, and joining us to recap the season that was for LCU men's basketball is head coach Todd Duncan. Coach, how are you today?
I'm good, Brennan. You doing all right?
You know, I can't complain. I've got a little bit of rest now. I'm at the point of the year where classes are, you know, getting to the crunch time of everything, and I'm sure it's like that for everyone else on campus.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. So, got to finish strong.
Yes, that is definitely the message. Right now, especially in the back of my mind. Now, let's start the show by recapping the postseason for the Shaps. We didn't get to talk about conference and of course, regionals, but now that it's all said and done, let's start by looking at the Lone Star Tournament. The Chaparrals beat St. Edward's and Texas A&M International to make the program's first ever LSE Tournament Championship appearance before falling to Eastern New Mexico at the last second. Even though there was, you know, it was a bit tough to watch that last one slip away, how fun was it to see the team make a deep run in Frisco?
Yeah, that was awesome to experience that opportunity, and proud of the guys for really how we played for the majority of the tournament, other than that last little 40 seconds against Eastern. I thought we were pretty solid in that game, and we struggled offensively against TAMIU in the semifinal, but found a way late to stay in the game and, you know, make a play or two to get the win, and thought we had a pretty good performance against St. Ed's, maybe more of a complete game, especially a great second half. So all that was really good. You know, got us in the NCAA tournament, which I make a point to mention just because I think it's important for the kids who've been in this program to, not for just them to understand, but for those that are just maybe LCU fans or casual supporters, like it's really hard to get into the NCAA tournament in the regional format Division II uses. And so our program has been fortunate to be one of three teams in the region to now make it 4 years in a row. So out of 35, four, whatever, how many region teams there are, to just be one of a three that's that shows a level of consistency. It shows how difficult it is to do it year in and year out. And obviously the goal is to keep playing, to make an Elite Eight, to have a chance to win a national championship. At the point we were in the region, I think five of the Lone Star teams, or at some point in there, five of the regional teams were top 10 in the country. So, you know, if you can win a South Central regional, it may be even more difficult than winning the Elite Eight. So, just to recap those 2 weeks, really proud of our guys. Obviously, you always want a little more. That's what makes, you know, as a competitor, that's just kind of why you play and why you work hard and prepare and do what you do. And when it's over, you kind of reflect a little more and you're proud of it and hungry for more. It's an odd dynamic that I experience at the end of every year because essentially you know that only one team gets to have a good feeling at the end of all this. And the better you do, the harder it is when you're done. And yet you willingly and gladly sign up for it again because you just want that opportunity.
And to your point, Coach, not only is it difficult to make the NCAA tournament, this region, the South Central, is composed of two of the most competitive conferences in NCAA Division II. The Lone Stars, very well-rounded, and the RMAC has some of the top, you know, offenses in the country. So it makes it all the more difficult to get there when you do compete in Lone Star and then get to the tournament. And sometimes you do run into an RMAC team that's really good, like Fort Lewis.
Yeah, I mean, anybody you play once you get to a regional is going to be high quality. And, you know, I thought we had a good plan. We had done well all year, even being a little undersized. You know, to get to the point where we were. We just had a stretch there in the second half where we couldn't get a stop. And really, the end of the first half, and there was a stretch there in the second, we just struggled to get a stop. That puts a lot of pressure on your defense, I mean on your offense, to keep up. And had a couple threes rattle in and out, a couple opportunities in the paint that we kind of let go. And, you know, a 12, 14-point game can really be a possession ball game if a couple of things are different. So I still feel like we're really close. It's just all about winning close games and small margins. And I know we have a hungry team that's excited about our future, and yet we got to find ways to narrow the gap or get over the hump.
Looking at some individual performances throughout the season, I want to start with a guy who will be departing the team, and he played 2 years for LCU. He might not have always stood out in the stat book, but was always important anytime he played, and that was Kurt Wegscheider, named to the LSE All-Tournament team. In two seasons with the Shaps, he accumulated 421 points, 239 rebounds, 80 assists, and 32 steals. What can you say about Kurt's impact on the team in his two seasons at LCU?
Well, he just brought an attitude of whatever it takes to win, he's willing to do. He's a guy who came into college as a point guard. For us, he was guarding the four or the five. He's a guy who just has overcome a lot in his life to get to the place he's at now. And I just think he has a level of maturity and perspective that's really refreshing to see. Just a great young man. Loved just hearing his story, getting to know him. I think he's someone that, you know, will be a lifelong relationship with. And he's just tough as nails. He played the last two or three months with a torn labrum, where not too many kids would just have the toughness to do that or the desire to, and he did. Every week he was going through really strenuous and arduous rehab that would prevent him from practicing for a day or two, just so he could be healthy enough to play on game day. And I think we saw some of his best basketball down the stretch. And it started maybe on our trip to Eastern Western. He just kind of really just found a niche. We ended up starting him later in the season, part of a big win at WT right before we headed to the conference tournament. Like you said, he was all conference, made the all conference tournament team. He just was up for any challenge, willing to do whatever we ask, sacrificed part of his game for the betterment of the team. A young man who works really hard to do well in the classroom, speaks three languages. Some of this I might have shared before, but tough childhood, growing up in Central Republic of Africa, went through basically a horrible war there, and was rescued out of that to get to France and matriculated because of a dual citizenship between the France and Central Republic of Africa. Was fortunate to get out of that in time and survive that. From there, the NBA Academy in Africa, played for them. Was at UNM when they used the COVID year to be in the bubble at LCU and did their training camps here. So even though we didn't really get to know him well there, we knew of him and he got to know us. So it's just kind of interesting in retrospect how some of these things work out. And, you know, you just really just thankful that God brought him to us and we were able to develop that relationship. So I met with him late last week, just kind of having closure for the year. He's got a bright future in whatever he chooses. And some good opportunities. So we'll definitely miss Kurt and super grateful for all he did for us.
Definitely going to go down as a Shap favorite for me, just being able to watch him these past two seasons and getting to learn his story, getting to hear about him and learn more about him, which altogether makes, you know, getting to witness college athletics all the more special. Now, another player who had a stellar season was Tyrus Morton, led the team with 16 points per game, 8 boards a game, all LSC first team and all defensive team, plus was named to the D2 CCA all region second team. What were your thoughts on Tyrus's season?
Yeah, and we just found out he made the first team in ABC all region. So that just came out this week, which is a tremendous accomplishment. Tyrus was someone we had recruited several years ago out of junior college. He had already committed to another school. True to his character, honored that word. And then when he became available, we were, you know, the first to call him and reach out. All of our meetings with him are just, he's all in on whatever he could do to become the best player he could be. So just to see him make that jump, like you said, he was on both ends of the court. I think the only player, there might have been one other player that was first team, all conference and all defensive. And before we forget, Aaron Gonzalez was the Lone Star Conference academic player of the year. So that was and you may have had that on your radar to talk about later, but I wanted to make sure we got that in because that's a huge accomplishment for Aaron and for our program. But Tyrus just dynamic. Anyone who watched him play, his athleticism's off the chart. His shooting continued to improve. There was a point in the season where teams were kind of putting their big on him, sending him in the paint, and Tyrus adjusted. He got in here. He was in that gym every morning getting up extra shots. I think it really showed late in the year. His percentages continued to climb. And he's a dynamic One of the better athletes that we've seen come through here. You know, the block shots, the dunks, the transition. Just a super athletic player that has a lot of basketball in his future. So excited, you know, that we were able to have him this year. He's got some decisions to make about his future. We'll see what happens there, but we'd love to have him back if that could work out.
Let's go ahead and transition to Aaron, because this is a good time to spotlight the guys on this team and, you know, how each of them made an impact. And in Aaron's case, it always felt like you wouldn't realize it, but then you look at the box score and it's like, hey, he's already in double figures. I mean, anytime he got the ball in his hands and he shot, a lot of times it was going in, and there was times in the previous season, it didn't always feel like that, but Aaron nonetheless had a really good season, and again, academic player of the year in the Lone Star Conference, taking care of business on the court and in the classroom, plus the average 10.4 points per game, and was 47% from three, and he's been a member of the squad since the 2021-22 season. What has made Aaron such a solid performer up to this season?
Well, Aaron embodies everything you would want in a teammate, a player, a student, just a young man. Tremendous character, tremendous hard worker, great teammate, extremely coachable, willing to do whatever you ask. He has an ego in a small sense, just because you wouldn't be a great competitor if you didn't. But he's selfless in all other respects. Even at the end of the year when Kurt took his spot in the starting lineup, he was just like, you know, I want to win, coach, whatever it takes. He would qualify probably as the leading three-point percentage shooter in our conference, except he didn't have enough attempts. So he's a very efficient player. We were, you know, trying to get him to quote-unquote be more selfish, you know, look for his shot more. But it's just not – it goes against his nature. He's always – looking for the next thing, the next person, the next pass. He's so unselfish. So that'll be something we want him to look for a shot a little more going into next year, because he's such a valuable, you know, every time he shoots it, I think it's going in. Great energy every practice. If you were to just come to practice, close your eyes and listen, you would hear Aaron talking. He's semi-introverted, in my opinion. You know, I'm not hanging out with him off the floor. But he's not a talker. He just kind of lets his actions speak. But when he's on the floor, he brings great energy. He's always communicating. He's always locked into the scouting report. He's always asking great questions. He's just a tremendous young man. And I was glad to see him. That award is obviously deserved. And just proud of how he represents LCU on and off the court and everything he does. He, like I said to start, he embodies everything. He checks every box of what you would want out of a college athlete and someone representing your program.
Another guy who was solid all around, especially offensively and defensively, was Najee Muhammad, named All LSU second team, 13.6 points per game, 502 points this season. What was the biggest change you saw in him from last season to this season?
Maybe just familiarity with how we want, what we expected from him. I think last year he's a little, I don't know, reluctance is too strong a word, but he, you know, we want it, and we still want him to be more aggressive, looking for a shot. His assist to turnover ratio was off the charts. Like you said, he's always guarding one of the best players. I think he's an all defensive type guy. Led the league in minutes played. That tells you right there how valuable he is to us. And I think in the Fort Lewis game, a couple of other games, when he's in foul trouble, we struggled. He's just a guy who sets the table, gets the ball where it needs to go. Again, super coachable, always has a smile on his face, always takes responsibility. He's the first guy after a tough loss to text, coach, I got to be better. You know, that's on me, whatever. You know, he takes it hard. He puts responsibility on himself. You know, he's a guy that we just, you know, he's an all-timer. And one of those guys you just love to coach. And we got a lot of those guys, but he's certainly one that I'm glad we still have some time left with him, and I look forward to him having a great senior season.
Ethan Duncan shined in his first season playing collegiate basketball, 111 made three-pointers, 44% from behind the arc, all LSE second team and all freshman team, and additionally was named to the LSE All-Tournament team. He has cemented himself in the LCU record books for second in three-pointers made in a season. How often do you get to see a player, because you know, he's been around college basketball, but this is his first season actually getting to compete. How often do you see a guy in their first season of getting to compete make an impact the way that Ethan did?
Yeah, that it's rare at our level with the portal and the transfers and everything. It's become an older game, you know, where the players out there are more seasoned and experienced. Ethan, to an extent, has some experience. It just wasn't on the floor, being injured his first year at college, going through some other stuff his second, you know, that other year he didn't play. So he kind of got the benefit of observing and watching and you know, for obviously firsthand knowledge of his work ethic and his desire and his mentality towards the game. Nothing that really he does on the court surprises me, but I do think that he really improved defensively from the beginning of the year. There were times early in the year where we were kind of having to go offense, defense late in the game just for matchup sake, or he just, it was an area he really grew in. He did a great job late in the year. Obviously, every time he shoots it, we think it's going in. He hit some big shots, some game winners. You know, he's a guy who's going to need to take the next step as we go into next year, but his commitment to the game, his dedication, he's a great teammate. He's always looking for things to do for his teammates off the floor, to build our team, to build our chemistry. So that makes me proud of him, just obviously as his father, but as a coach, you always need those guys that, because as a coach, your job is all, you're always thinking about the team. You know, it's, you wake up in the middle of the night, it's just, it's such a part of your life, you can't help it. So when you have players in the program who are thinking similarly, and it's not like we sit down and talk about it, honestly. He just has a knack. It's just kind of something he sees and observes. So, again, just like the other guys we mentioned, thankful for him, thankful that he was able to have a good season. I do think some of those things he went through were blessings in disguise. Looking back, going through them at the time, they were really tough, hard things. But God has been faithful, and he's allowed him this opportunity. And, you know, I'm grateful that I get to be on this journey with him at LCU.
One last player definitely worth mentioning is Ty Caswell. Played an entire season this year after coming back from a long battle with injury. Finished with 270 points on the season, and it was along with Aaron, was named to the LSE All-Academic Team. And again, another guy that wasn't always at the top of the stat book, but he, it felt at times, would hit crucial buckets when you needed them most, and defensively was given a lot of tough assignments guarding some of the best players in the conference. How well can you speak to not only Ty's toughness, but his leadership?
Yeah, and Ty's been around for a while with, you know, Freshman of the Year several years ago in our league. Was one of the highest rated, if maybe not the highest rated recruit we'd ever signed when we got him. Like you said, high academic guy, tremendous character. And for 2 years to watch him on that floor every day going through rehab, with just the hope of being able to play, no, really no guarantee, having multiple surgeries, having that limit his mobility, kind of taking days off here and there, not wanting to put too much pressure on it, to see him in the starting lineup, hitting the big shots, in basketball you don't always get what you deserve, but, I mean, he deserved to have a good season. He had worked so hard and earned the right to have that I'm just so thankful he was able to enjoy a mostly healthy season. He did turn his ankle in the middle of the year, and You know, we miss him when he's not out there, but he's just so valuable. Excited to have him back for one more year. He brings a level of maturity, brings a level of toughness. His, you know, because of some of our, you know, we're undersized a little bit. He was battling in the post. I mean, and just, you know, going a 15-round heavyweight fight every game just against a bigger body was a key part of us winning some of the, and really did a great job all year. Our lack of height really didn't get exposed too often. There were a few times. I mean, it might be obvious in warmups, but it was never obvious in the game. And he could also create an advantage for us on the other end by pulling his guy away from the basket. He had so many big plays throughout the year that stand out. And I just mainly just remember him just fighting and battling. And you never question for half a second, you know, if Ty's given you everything he has. And that's a testimony to his character, his mentality, all those things. And, you know, it goes, we've known that about him for a long time, but just really glad that all those days when no one knew, if, including him, if it was going to pay off or not, that it did. So super happy for him and proud of Ty.
You just completed your 13th season coaching collegiate basketball. Do you learn something new about the game at the collegiate level every year? And if so, what did you learn from this season?
Well, I think we learn something every day in a sense, because we're preparing for a really good team that's well coached. So I'm always watching what they do. I'm watching basketball, obviously, on TV. We're learning from our players. We're obviously having conversations. We're measuring everything we do to see, you know, if what we think is the best is really, you know, we all have our biases about let's do it this way or that way, but what we want to do is do what's best and play as intelligently as we can, take advantage of, you know, the research and really the in-depth analysis that we're doing of ourselves. And so constantly learning, constantly, you know, looking at how we could have been better, wins or losses. Obviously, the losses you maybe teach you more, but there have been games we won where I was like, you know, it shouldn't have come down to that, or we should have done better here, and this game would have, you know. So, you know, it's a little bit nitpicking, but at the same time, I just think that constant desire to get better is got to always be there. When it's not there, then you probably need to go do something else, because you're doing a disservice to the kids, you're doing a disservice to the team, and to the place that's employing you. So, I can't sit here and say specifically this. I could think about that, and there would be specific things, but just competition, I think, brings out the best in you. Obviously, the region we've talked about, the conference, every night is a really tough game. And if you're not preparing and you're not getting better, then you're going to get left behind. So just like now, you know, as the basketball world kind of shifts to the portal, NIL to an extent, I mean, just everything, we have to be constantly evolving and looking for the way that we can do it best at LCU. And so fortunate to have, you know, Coach Himes, Coach Huey along this journey with me. Two guys that, just like these players, work extremely hard and do, you know, countless things behind the scenes for us to have the success we enjoy.
During this time in the off season, what are you and your coaching staff working on for the program?
There's a lot of facets to it. One is recruiting. Obviously, you're just trying to find guys that fit a need, fit the program, guys you want to coach, you know, that you would enjoy coaching. There's a lot of talented players, but you got to make sure it's the right fit for them and for us. We're planning our schedule. Some of that said, a few things still left to do there. And then we're talking and evaluating our own team. We're having meetings and just kind of seeing, you know, what's the next step for those guys? How can we maximize, you know, the time we have left with them? Making sure they're taking care of their classes and finishing strong, which we've been one of the top teams in the Lone Star academically for quite a few years now. We've been the top team several times, but we're near the top every year. Are you taking care of your chapel credits? Is there anything we can do to help you? Because we miss a lot of school, especially late in the spring when we're in the conference tournament or at a regional. You know, one thing that it's, you know, this isn't an excuse, but it's just the reality. These guys miss fall break. They miss Thanksgiving break. They miss Christmas break. And because we did well, they miss spring break. And so, you know, a lot of we're not asking for sympathy for that, but I mean, it's a lot of sacrifice. And that's just the way the basketball season is. So, you know, we've taken these last few weeks to give everybody a little break, catch back up on their school, get, you know, just refresh the mental break. The coaches have still been working hard, but for those guys, you know, they need that. But probably this will tell you more about these guys. We get back, lost Saturday, get back Sunday morning. We have our last meeting in the locker room, and about half the guys go down the court and start working on their game. You know, season's not even 24 hours old. I didn't tell them to do that. I didn't ask them to do that. No one wanted to leave that locker room. We all sat there just in silence for probably 30, 40 minutes after I'd talked. Just, it's hard when you're just, like I said, all those days we're together, all the meals, all the bus rides, all the hotels, all the meetings, all the scouting reports, the late nights, the early mornings. You know, I love every bit of that. Maybe not at the time when your body's tired and you want to take a shortcut, but I just think that's what makes it special when you go through these journeys with these guys and you build those bonds. And, you know, that team as presently constructed will no longer be together again. And so every year you're just having to, it's a loss, not just a loss on the scoreboard, but I mean, it's a loss just, personally for me to think about how much I love coaching Kurt and some of these other guys. And eventually we're all, you know, everybody's passing through, you know, so, including me. So, at some point, I'll hand over the reins to someone else, and they'll be leading LCU basketball. So we just all have to understand how blessed we are to get to do this, even through the tough times and the frustrating times, just still get to show up to the gym with each other and play a game that we've loved a long time and have that attitude of gratitude for that as well.
You just said it best. While the season is done, basketball doesn't stop for these guys. The grind doesn't stop for these guys. It's constantly year in and year out. And I know there goes a lot into off-season work and growth that the players go through, especially at the individual level, guys working on their own game by themselves. Is there anything that you want your guys to specifically work on during the off-season?
Well, I think generally speaking, every player's got to get stronger, get in the weight room. Some guys, that means putting on weight. Some guys, that's just getting in a little better shape. You know, some guys like Ty just stay healthy and maintain to a degree, but there's other areas he can get strong. We just don't want to force something that would, you know, not be detrimental to anybody. And then I just think skill, you never get too good at ball handling, shooting. You know, that to me, those are the things players want to work on. So a lot of our offseason is spent, you know, on things that are quote unquote more enjoyable. But yeah, we're still working on, we got to be better competitors. I mean, I just think you're competing every day. If it's a shooting drill, if you're playing pickup, if you're, you know, in a 3-on-3, 1-on-1, 5-on-5 situation. I do think like end of game stuff is something we might try to do better at in the post or in the off season, just play some situational games, because you know, to win at this level, we see it in March Madness. You know, you got to execute down the stretch, and usually a good to great season is defined by how you do in those close games. And so we want to be winning those games. We talked, I think the Oakland coach at near the end of the Kentucky game was, we win close games. You heard Kelvin Sampson after that game went overtime, like, we're built for this. So you're creating that mentality even now. I think games that are won next year are starting in March and April. That's when you reap it later, but you sow it now. So we have to every day counts. You're heading in one direction. You can only coast one way, you know. So it's all about the mentality. And do you love basketball? Just some, you know, if you love something, you don't have to be motivated to spend time doing it or spend time with someone you love. It just flows out of you naturally. You look for opportunities to do it. If you just are 50-50 on it, then you're going to find a path of least resistance and probably not commit as much as you could have. And the basketball window of your life is very short relative to your life. So why would you not maximize something that you know you're not going to get to do forever? And you're already in the top 3% just getting to play college sports and to be at a place like LCU that values basketball, that has a culture that's strong and healthy. You know, you're super blessed. So, like, that's it's a non-negotiable. Like, hard work, commitment, sacrifice, those are just part of every winning program, and we can't lose sight of that.
Well, Coach, before we go, do you have anything that you would like to share with LCU, with Shap Nation, before we close the book on the season?
I just think back to our home games and how appreciative I was of the support we had this year. It felt like it continued to grow. We had some great crowds, great students. The student section was phenomenal this year. They brought great energy. Our players love that. The band, the cheerleaders, you know, all the people who do the work behind the scenes, you and Nathan, just making our program feel important means a lot to our guys. And so the support and the promotion and just being there, you know, we want to do well. It's good, and everyone loves it when what they're doing is supported. And so I'm grateful for that. We want to continue to build on that. And we'll be looking for ways we can maximize that and continue to let it grow. It's huge in recruiting when we can show, like, you know, recruits, we get great support. You know, we're going to have a band, and the cheerleaders are going to be here. I've had other coaches in the league reach out to me about our band and different things that we do there. So it adds an element and an atmosphere to games that people notice, even opponents. So we just continue to grow that, and we're hard at work. So the next year's version of the Shaps will continue to exemplify excellence on and off the floor.
Well, Coach, thank you so much for your time, and personally for me, thank you for coming and talking with us throughout the season. It was a blast getting to support the team this year and get to watch the team and the support growth. And I enjoyed it a lot, and I'm just glad that we were able to be a part of the ride. So thank you for that, Coach, and can't wait to see what the future beholds.
Yep. Thanks, Brandon. Appreciate you.
That was head men's basketball coach Todd Duncan of the LCU men's basketball team. Stay tuned as we will be joined by LCU baseball coach Nathan Blackwood coming up next on the LCU Coaches Show on 99.1 Shap Radio. 99.1 Shap Radio, KLCT LP Lubbock, Texas. Welcome back to the LCU Coaches Show live on Shap Radio and on demand on the LCU podcast. I'm Brendan Riker, and joining us to wrap up the evening is LCU head baseball coach Nathan Blackwood. Coach, how are you today?
I'm good. It's good to be back here, off for a couple weeks, but glad to be back on the show, and love what you guys are doing.
Yeah, it was quite a few hectic before spring break, and then, you know, after spring break, it was kind of a time where everyone's kind of getting past, you know, the winter sports, and now we're fully into it's not crossover season anymore. We're fully into baseball and softball. But yeah, it's been a while since we've talked, and I'm glad you're here today, Coach. Taking a look at the season so far, 20-10 overall, 19-9 in LSC play, sitting second in the conference standings behind West Texas A&M. You know, early on in the season, there was a few snags here and there in the second and third series of conference play, but since then, the Shaps have found themselves on the right track. What have you seen from the program since that second and third weekend?
Well, you know, Yeah, you can call those snags, but those are Lone Star Conference games, and what we've always talked about in this league is everyone's good and everyone is almost the same team, it seems like, and they're capable of beating you. And we didn't play great perhaps in those two series you're mentioning, but those are two good teams too that just beat us that weekend. So. We've changed some things. We've mentioned some things that we've changed on the mound, allowing us to have a little more depth in our bullpen, which allows us to finish games. And that was one difference between now and then. We're playing good. The key is consistency. When we pitch good and hit good, obviously we're a good team. When we don't, we're certainly capable of getting beat.
You mentioned a couple weeks ago when you were on the show, you did mention that you were looking for more consistency in, good pitching on the same day as good hitting. And obviously that's the key to any baseball game. But are you seeing that more as the season progresses?
Yeah. And really, that's like you said, that is your desire, but it's really tough to do that. It's hitting is such a difficult part of the game. You're going to have bad days hitting. I think the consistency that we can really produce is pitching and defense. And if we can go out every single day and pitch competitively, throwing strikes, not walking guys, giving them free bases, and then playing good defense behind that, the hitting is going to come and go. And that's really what when we're playing good, we're doing those two things for sure, pitching and playing defense. And we just got to get more consistent in those two areas for sure.
From February 25th to March 16th, your team went on a 9-game win streak. Started with a series finale win against Arkansas Fort Smith 11-10, sweeps over Oklahoma Christian and St. Mary's in the process. How was the team able to go on a streak like that when it's so tough to do that when you have these 4-game sets against each team in conference play?
Yeah, I think on that streak there, that's when we were making some of the changes on the mound. We started pitching a lot better. And really, and I'm not sure if we actually pitched better or we just learned how to use our bullpen better. But either way, the guys that were pitching in the roles that they were pitching in understood what they were supposed to do and did a much better job of those things. So that part of that's our fault early, just trying to putting guys in the wrong situation. But once we started figuring that out and they understood what we were needing out of them, I think that just really kind of turned a page for us and helped us, start that streak. Part of that, again, and I've already mentioned this, any team in this league can beat you, but those are teams that we feel like we should beat. And that doesn't always happen. And so we were glad we were able to sweep those two in a row for sure. Cause we knew those teams, they're capable of beating some teams, and they have, both of them have won several games since then against teams that we're real close to in the standings with. So us sweeping them and getting past them and allowing them to win some games now is going to help us.
2 weekends ago, you had a 2-game set against Regis that was initially supposed to be in Colorado, and snow up there moved it down here to Lubbock, and then weather in Lubbock moved it from a home game to a neutral site game at Texas Tech. How big was it for the Chaparral Owls to have that game, that series played when that's an RMAC team you're playing? Yeah. and a lot of regional implications there.
Yeah, that's big. We set that series up for that reason. That's a good team that's in the RMAC, so it's a regional opponent. We wanted it to be a road game. We wanted to go to Denver and play a good team in the RMAC because those are good resume builders for that regional ranking. And when we got snowed out at Denver, we still just wanted to play the game. So we brought them down here, played the series. Then we got the rain, like you mentioned, moved it over to Tech. So then it becomes a neutral site game again, which is a road game for both teams if it's neutral. So it really could have been a huge two-game sweep for us if we could have pulled it off. But a split against those guys at a neutral site is not a horrible thing.
Looking at the most recent series for LCU, it was a road series at a top 15 team in the country, reigning national champions in Angelo State. You know, in game one on Friday, the Chaps fell 6-0, but responded the next day with a game two win 10-5 to start the Saturday doubleheader. How were the Chaps able to respond from that game on Friday to the first game on Saturday?
Yeah, that was big. We were really disappointed after our Friday performance, and we talked a lot about it after the game. That's a game we felt like we should have won. We faced a really good pitcher, but we just didn't play good defense at all that game. And if we keep it close against a team like that, I think we win that game. But we just couldn't just make basic plays that game. So our bounce back the next day to win, and to win really kind of in a big way the next day, even though they scored some runs late to make it closer. It was almost like a blowout win. So that was big. Then we turned around the next game and once again didn't play good defense, and they kind of blew us out. And so Sunday was obviously a huge game at that point. And just to salvage a split out of a series that we felt like we should have won, I was proud of our guys, though, for bouncing back and doing that.
Yeah, game three was that 10-3 loss. That was the back half of the Saturday doubleheader. But Sunday, the bats wore out the Angelo State pitching staff en route to a 15-10 victory. And that was also due in part of 46 total at-bats in one game. How big was it to see the bats go from only scoring the three runs Saturday night to finishing the series strong with 15 runs?
Yeah, that was big. Part of that, the winds shifted and Sunday wind was blowing out. But we were able to hit several, home runs on Sunday, and they did. And so it's not necessarily just because of that, but our hitters were really dialed in and they're at the back end of their pitching and just didn't have much left either. So it was good for us to kind of pull away and salvage a split out of that series.
And I think no matter what, we talked before this, Angelo's gone through some injuries this season, have not had the start that they did last year, but they still boast one of the best pitching staffs in the LSE, best ERA for sure in the conference. So, and still to come out with a split where last year you weren't able to get a win over Angelo State is still big nonetheless. And that is also a big regional resume builder.
Yeah, it is. Again, a split on the road against those guys is certainly not a bad thing, and it may even be a good thing. But we feel like we should win that series. You mentioned those injuries. They had their number one arm, and then several of their top hitters were out the four-game series up the four of the last series up until our series, but they were back against us, and that's who we saw Friday night was their number one, and he was really good too. But again, I think if we play better defense, we're in that game and have a chance to win it at the end.
Carson Ogilvy was named the Lone Star Conference Player of the Week after his weekend versus ASU. Was 9-for-14 with 3 home runs and 8 runs batted in to lead LCU to that road split against Angelo State. What led to Ogilvy having such a big weekend against that pitching staff?
Well, he's been good all year. I think he's just that type of guy, though. The bigger and better the pitching staff he faces, the better he is. Because he's just a really good hitter, and he knows how to get on base. He knows how to drive runs in. He knows how to bunt. He can get triples, home run. I think he's leading the team in home runs as our leadoff hitter. So it's just kind of one of those dirt bag, just plays the game hard every day, and knows how to compete, number one, but knows how to win and produce at the plate. So he's been one of our top guys all year. I think he just kind of had an even better weekend that showcased hitter of the week for him.
Talking with LCU head baseball coach Nathan Blackwood, as your offense receives recognition as it, as that's the fourth time a LCU player has been recognized as hitter of the week this season, what does that tell you about those players' commitment from the offseason to now to getting better and better as the year goes on?
Yeah, that's a good question, because they're just those type of guys. They work hard in everything they do. They love playing the game. They're always in the cages hitting. You mentioned there are four different guys. That's another, you know, tribute to our offense, like you said, to have four different guys stand out as hitter of the week is pretty special. You know, there's a lot of teams that won't have a repeat hitter of the week, period. But much less at this point for us to have four different guys as hitter of the week just shows that, you know, our lineup is pretty good. And there's not really a person that a pitching staff can relax against in our lineup. And that's really what makes all of them good, because they, you know, it's pass the stick to the next guy. If I can't get a hit, I'm going to get on base and let the guy behind me get it. So it's important.
Focusing on the pitching staff over the weekend, in that first game of the doubleheader, you throw two guys out there, and that's Ryan Marquardt and Chris Rhodes, who combine only allowing six hits and five runs. And then the Sunday game, you throw five different guys out, but the winning pitcher is Andrew Duran, four innings pitched, three hits, three runs allowed, and struck out three. You know, what did you see against them? Against a Angelo State team that also has some powerful hitters.
Yeah, you know, Marquardt came out of the bullpen. First of all, you know, was that the Rhodes game that he came in relief?
Yes, sir.
And so, you know, Rhodes wasn't as sharp as he normally is. Plus, I think that's one of the games that we really just booted the ball around, didn't play good defense for Rhodes. And then Marquardt comes in and just pitches phenomenal and finishes out the game. We get a W there. In the Sunday game with Duran, you know, he's a competitor too, and we love having him in that game four because he just competes. He got in trouble by too many free bases, though. You know, free batters, basically. Hit by pitch, I think, four or five guys, and then walked maybe five guys. Angelo's really good at that. They're good at getting hit. They intentionally get close to the plate, and they roll into a lot of pitches. And the way Andrew pitches, that wasn't a good matchup. So he did as good as he could, and then we were able to turn it over to our bullpen. And for the most part, they did a good job of shutting it down, especially Josh Akers. He was really good for us.
And one of the things that we also talked about a couple weeks ago, the last time we were talking, was how sometimes the starting pitching would start out really strong, but then it just the relief early on in the season wasn't quite there. So as far as the relief pitching goes, how has that grown to this point now?
Yeah, Josh Akers is a big part of that. He's been way better this year than he was last year. We saw that at times last year, but he wasn't real consistent. Now, and then he's figured out some things and been a huge addition to our bullpen. Colson Abel, Caden Everett, Stanfield now came in two big situations over the weekend and is starting to really pitch well. He's got he's a 94 arm that was just having some control issues, and now he's settled down and figured out how to keep the ball at the bottom of the zone, and been big for us. And then Colton Brown as well, didn't have a good outing this week, but he's going to be a guy for us. And then perhaps this weekend we got Chris Scholl again. That's probably going to come out of the bullpen instead of start, and he'll be a big plus for us in the back end.
One more on this series against Angelo State. Some more big performances. Jared Gibson had 4 hits and 4 runs batted in throughout the series. Jacob Gutierrez had 7 hits in the series, and Shea Bowen had 5 hits and 2 runs batted in game 4. Was there any other performances, whether on the mound or in the box, that really stood out to you against Angelo State?
Yeah, there was several good outings. You mentioned Shea. Shea didn't have a good series against them at all, and I was just proud of the way he kept plugging, because we dropped him down in the order one game, and then game 4 we were facing a righty, so I wanted his left-handed bat closer to the top of the order. Debated whether or not to do it because he was just having such a bad series. We ended up doing it, and he's, like you said, I think he got 5 hits in that game, and was a huge difference in us winning that game. So just proud of those guys for understanding that you're going to have bad days and just continuing to plug away, and they did that. So I was proud of him. Ryan Ball had a good Sunday as well. I think he hit a couple of – he had a home run, I know, and had several RBIs. But just, again, and that's coming out of our 8 hole in the lineup. Blair's trying to get on base as well. It was just a good overall performance from our hitters.
Looking ahead to this week, it's a home series for the Chaparrals, and because of Easter, this series will be played Thursday through Saturday, and the Chaparrals will turn their attention to the Texas A&M International Dust Devils. Thursday's game is set for 6 p.m. Friday will be the doubleheader. That's at 2 p.m. and a game 2 to follow at 4 p.m. Then the series finale Saturday at 1 p.m. Coach, what do you know about this Dust Devil squad?
They've got 2 of their top arms from last year. They've got their 1 and their 2 on the mound back from last year. And those guys are pitching in game 3 and 4. So they're way better. Their number 1 and their number 2 are new, and their 1 had pitcher of the week on her already, but he's got a lot of strikeouts. They're going to be really good. They're right at 500, I think, in their record, maybe 1 game below, but they're similar to UTPB, where they've just come on this year and are playing a lot better. UTPB, as you know, beat us in a series, and a team that traditionally isn't very good. So International is kind of that team. They're really scary and winning a lot of games, and hopefully our guys understand how big of a series this year is, and I think they do. It's a veteran group that knows what's ahead of them.
What are your keys to beating the Dust Devils this weekend?
Getting a good start, as always, on the mound is always key to every single game, and I feel like Auger will do that on Thursday night. And just having good quality at bats, trying to get into their bullpen. I think if they have a weakness, I think it's their back end pitching staff. So trying not to be overly aggressive with their starters and get their pitch counts up and try to win a series by getting into the bullpen.
Coach, do you have anything else you would like to share with Chapa Nation before we go?
No, it's like you mentioned earlier, though, it's spring, officially spring. I think there's only a few sports still going, so it's a fun time of year for those sports, and we're looking forward to having good crowds out and supporting these guys.
Well, Coach, thank you so much for your time, and good luck this weekend.
Appreciate it.
That was head baseball coach Nathan Blackwood. And again, come out to Hayes Field this week, Thursday through Saturday, as the Chaparrals take on Texas A&M International. If you can't make it out to Hayes Field, every game can be heard on the Chap Radio Sports Network. Thank you so much to Steve Gomez and Todd Duncan for joining us as basketball has wrapped up their seasons. Congratulations to both of those squads on fantastic seasons. Be sure to tune in next week at the same time to catch the LCU Coaches Show. But until then, keep listening here for more great hits on 99.1 Chap Radio.